We're doing the book of Daniel. We're up to the first chapter, the 8th pasuk. Vayasem Daniel al libo. Daniel decided, Asher lo yitga'al b'fatmag ha-melech u'vigein mishtav, that he doesn't want to become defiled with the king's food and the king's wine. He decides he's going to try to find a way out. Doesn't want to get dirty with that. So that's an important thing. You know, how do we view things? If you walk by the wine and the pork and you say, I wish I could have that. So then when temptation comes, it's hard to stand up to. But when Daniel views it and says, I don't want to get dirty with that, so he could stand up to it. You guys remember the Medrash in Avos de Rabbi Nosson about Rabbi Akiva? Right? Rabbi Akiva was summoned by the Roman governor. And the governor decided he's going to make Rabbi Akiva fall. So he hired two women of ill repute, locked Rabbi Akiva in a room, locked him with those two women. They were without clothing. And they spent all night trying to seduce him. And in the morning, the governor summons them and asks them what happened. And they say, he's not human. And the governor says, why? And they say, well, every time we tried to approach him, he'd spit to the right, he'd spit to the left, he'd spit to the right, he'd spit to the left. We could come near him. So the governor calls in Rabbi Akiva and says, are you not human? So Rabbi Akiva says, what can I do? Every time they approached, I felt like I was smelling a carcass, a dead animal approaching. I couldn't, it's just not, that's how I felt. If one views sin as a dead animal, so then one can spit and say, "Ech." Daniel looks at the delicious food, the royal food and the royal wine that is being offered, and says, I don't want to get dirty with that. So a lot of life is decided by our attitude to things. Vayvakesh misar hasarisim asher lo yitga'al. So he asks the top servant, the top eunuch, I don't want to get dirty with this. Interesting why he used that term. Vayiten Elohim et Daniel lechesed ulrachamim lifnei sar hasarisim. So God caused something unnatural to happen. The top servant felt that Daniel found favor in his eyes. He had charm. Vayomer sar hasarisim leDaniel. So he explained to Daniel. He says, I can't do it because Yarei ani et Adoni Amelech. I'm scared of my master the king, Asher mina et ma'achalchem ve'et mishtechem. He personally ordered what you guys get to eat and drink. It's not like a minor detail. He gave a personal directive. Asher lama yire et penechem zo'afim. I'm concerned that he will see that your countenance will be poor. He will look at you and see that you don't look as good as the other kids. Minayladim asher kigilechem. You'll look worse than the other children your age. V'chiyavtem et roshi lamelech. And then you'll cause me to be decapitated. I don't want that to happen. V'yomer Daniel el hamelzar. So Daniel does the next step. He tried going to the top guy. Didn't work. So he speaks to the waiter, the lower level guy who's bringing them the food. Asher mina sar hasarisim al Daniel Hananya Mishael Vazaria. Daniel says to the waiter, Nasnat avadecha yamim hasara, why don't you try us for 10 days? V'yitnu lanu min hazeroim v'nochila umayim v'nishteh. Why don't you give us some beans? Give us some baked beans or raw beans. Give us some lentils. We'll eat that and we'll drink water. Give us a trial of 10 days. V'yiru lefanecha mareinu. And then you'll take a look at how we look. Umarei ha'iladim ha'ochilim eit patpag ha'melech. You'll compare us with the other kids who are eating the kids' foods. V'chasher tireh asei im avadecha. And as you see fit, then you'll be able to act. Now, there are 2 points we have to notice. The conversation began with the head, and the conversation continues with the waiter, as though it's the same conversation. So perhaps what was going on here was, Daniel says, I understand You can't approve it. So we won't do it, right? You don't approve it, right? Okay, Mr. Waiter, within earshot of the boss, why don't you try it? Meaning, sometimes you can tell a person, the top guy, I know you can't approve it, but can you let me talk to him and you won't know about it officially? So it doesn't say that that's what happened, but I'm saying the context certainly lends itself to that interpretation. But there's a practical application we should possibly learn from this conversation. Daniel tells him, let's do a trial for 10 days. Very often in life, you'll want to accomplish something and the other side will say no. And what you have to say is, why don't we do a trial for a day? I'll tell you a story. There was a guy who lived around the corner from here. He wanted to teach at Machon Meir. So he came and said to Rabbi Listman, you know, I used to teach. I made Aliyah. And I'm not asking for any pay. I walk by your yeshiva every night. Why don't I give a class here for free? I don't teach at all now. I used to teach. And now I'll come in once a week, twice a week, whatever. I'll give a class. And Rabbi Listman said, we don't have any shortage of teachers. No, thank you. And the guy tried again 2 months later. Same answer. And then he said, you know what? Why don't we do a one-time class? And the rest is history. He's standing in front of you. Yeah. Sometimes you have to just, you know, get your foot in the door. I'll tell you, seriously. You don't take no for an answer. So you say, okay, so why don't we just do once? Or why don't we just, you know, do a 10-day trial, free of charge? Vayishma lahem ladavar hazeh. So the waiter agrees, he gives him a 10-day trial. By the way, I say do this on a regular job too. Sometimes we had a guy, I can tell you these stories over and over again, but there are many stories where people said, I'll work the first 2 weeks for free. But then they got into the job. Sometimes it pays to say, you know, let's do a trial run, which won't cost you anything. Are you better off sitting at home having no job? I'm saying when you're applying for a job. There are many times where people say, I'm not working a day for free. Yeah, you'd rather sit home and do nothing for free, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, I know a guy who's a year older than me. He finished high school. He got an internship for 2 weeks. He's like a computer programmer. He ended up making 6 figures last year.
Yeah. Yeah, the key is to get your foot in the door. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a far-out story. I know many stories along the same lines. I'm saying, you see from Daniel, learn from him. He says, give me a 10-day trial. You don't like it. You didn't lose anything. We'll go back to the old way. Umiktat yami masara, but at the end of 10 days, niraimarihem tov. Their looks were so good, uvriye basar, and so healthy. Min kol ha'iladim ha'ochlim et patpag ha'melech. They looked even better than the other kids. Now, did Daniel know this would be the outcome? I don't think so. Sometimes in life, you got to say, I'm going to do mine. And now it's up to God whether it'll work out right or not. But at least I took my step forward. I tried. Our story goes back almost 2 decades ago. Almost 2 decades ago. It was about 15, 16 years ago. There was a kid who had no relatives, only a mother, who was about to die. And there was a group of people who could help him. But each one was about to leave town. One was going to leave the country, and we couldn't get them together. And we had 3 hours left before the pivotal one who could actually help the situation was going to leave the country for a 2 week period. And by then, probably the mother would die, and then they would take the house. The house would be repossessed. It was like a critical time. So we agreed. We got together 3 out of 5. We had 2 we couldn't get a hold of. So the meeting was about to be canceled, and it was pivotal. It should happen. So I said, you know what, I'm coming. I had to travel 1.5 hours for the meeting. I said, I'm coming. And hopefully the meeting will happen. The last 5 minutes, before the final 5 minutes when the meeting could still happen, I tried and I didn't get through. And then we hit the last minute and I try again and I don't get through. And then 1 minute overtime, I said, I'm trying again. And just then the person walked through the door. And when we got through, this was the day before everyone had cell phones. And when the person heard this was what was happening, they said, of course I'm going to be there. I know I have to fly out. I'm going to be there for the meeting. And that changed this guy's life around completely. The fact that these five people were able to get together, his house wasn't repossessed. His whole life, you know, his mother did die, like a few days later. And this person was out of the country. But sometimes you got to say, okay, I'm going to do mine. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's in his hands, not my hands, but I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to give that extra push. And whatever happens, I can't change it. He can change it, but I got to do mine. So Daniel says, let's try. Does Daniel know if he'll look better or worse? No, who knows? Let's see. So the waiter was having wonderful meals for himself, his families, and he gave them their pitiful, you know, lentils, whatever it was. By the way, there's a minig on Purim to eat beans in memory of them, of Daniel and his crowd who were eating, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were eating some kind of beans. And as we see, this is a lead-in. God gave them extraordinary intellect. They were able to write beautifully. They were able to understand multiple languages. They were able to understand the different works of philosophy and logic. And Daniel excelled beyond his three friends, because he was able to understand visions and dreams. At the end of the period, when the king says, I want to interview all the kids, and now the top servant, the head eunuch, brings them all in before Nebuchadnezzar. So the king interviews this myriad of children. And after interviewing everyone, none could compare to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They beat everyone hands down. They were the top four. The conclusion of the experiment was these four stay before the king. And any time he wanted wisdom, understanding, so the king would ask these four. He found them to be able to produce 10 times as much as al kol ha'chatumim ha'ashafim, more than his naturalists, chartumim, the people who understood nature, more than the ashafim, his doctors, asher bechol malchuto. So comparing them with all the scientists, they were trained in his castle, and they ended up being better than all his different servants and advisors. Vayhi Daniel ad shenat achat lechoresh ha-melech. So Daniel remained in this position as advisor till the first year of Koresh, the king. So we're going to see there were two Koresh. There was a Koresh who preceded Ahasuerus, and there was a Koresh who was the king after Ahasuerus, also known as Darius, also known as Koresh. And this depends on an interesting machlokas. We'll expand in 1 second. Yes?
Did Daniel return back to Yerushalayim then?
Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. So this brings us into Megillas Esther. Esther is concerned. She gets word that Mordechai has torn his clothing. He's in mourning at the king's gates. She wonders what's going on. So she summons her top servant named Hatach and says, I want you to go out to Mordechai and ask him what's going on here. And Mordechai tells Hatach, here, go show Esther. There's been a decree. All the Jews have to be you know, Haman wants to annihilate. This is what's going on. Of course I tore my clothing. She has to go into the king right away and tell him he has to annul this decree. Who is this Hatach? We never heard of him before. So our tradition is that Hatach is Daniel. And the question is, why was he called Hatach? So one opinion is that Hatach is like the word Chatach, that he was cut down from size, that initially, as we see here, Nebuchadnezzar held him in high regard, and we'll see Nebuchadnezzar's sons held him in high regard. And then, when the Persian Empire came to the throne, so they said, good riddance, we don't want this Jew over here. They cut down Daniel from being advisor when the Persian Mede Empire came to power. And that's why he was called Hatach, because here originally he was the top advisor, and when the Persian Medes came to power, he was cut down to size, or cut down from size, and he was given this lowly task of being the queen's servant. So, yeah, okay, so that's why Esther has him at her side, and she could send him as a trusted emissary to Mordechai. So according to that opinion, when it says over here, Daniel was in power until the first year of Koresh, that's the first Koresh, who was the first king after the Persian Mede Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire. Another understanding says he was called Hatach because he was Choteich. He was the one who would decide everything in the empire. Not he was cut from size, but on the other hand, the other way, he would cut to the chase. He was the one who made all the decisions. The king always asked him before making a decision, so that means he was still in power. Esther had access to him as the queen. She could call him in and say, do me a favor, I need someone I can trust in this palace. Go out to Mordechai and find out what's going on. But according to that interpretation, then even in the period of Ahasuerus, he was an advisor. There's even an opinion that he was the one that had Vashti executed. There's an opinion that Daniel had a very difficult wife, and she'd drive him crazy talking other languages. And that was one of the reasons he took advantage of Ahasuerus's intoxicated state and said, put out a decree, no woman can talk any other language, only her husband's language. So that was part of Daniel's fight in his own home. That's an opinion Tosfos quotes. Funny story there. I guess Daniel was so top. He was advisor already for decades. He'd been there before Ahasuerus was born. He figured he could get away with sticking in something that would help him in his own house. That's okay, so that opinion, what?
That's a great hint. He said, no matter, he can run a kingdom, but his own home, he's doing crazy. That's beautiful. But the other thing is, how does it square if he has that kind of power and that kind of influence with Haman? It's kind of tough.
Okay, that needs work, right? Okay, so according to that opinion, it means he was there till the time of the next Koresh. Okay, so now this was all introductory, just to explain to us, how did Daniel even get there? Now our story really begins.